Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside. So last week, I went to visit the magical Tiu Dahan to talk about all sorts of things, from finding the magical in the mundane to self-love and radical self-care. Tiu is an Oxford-educated ritual designer, a creative facilitator and intuitive mentor whose work is all about reminding people how to shift their perspective to see the magic in the mundane. So she works with one-to-one clients from this magical boat. I wish you'd come, Vicky. You would have absolutely loved it, but you were poorly. And she works with one-to-one clients there, but she also works with huge global brands and organizations, from the United Nations to L'Oreal to quantum physicists in Bristol University. She's just, the work she does is just extraordinary. And when she's not giving keynote talks at Google, she can be found writing love letters to strangers, which she leaves in nooks all over the city. We've actually done with her on one of her magical evening adventures around London, which is all about kind of rekindling wonder and bringing magic to the mundane. Yeah. So you heard the episode.
Oh my God. Wow. What a joy to listen to you two talk. And you covered a lot of ground.
Oh my God.
It's amazing to hear you talk about what radical self-care and what radical self-love really is all about. And what I loved was how much she was acknowledging the ebbs and flows of life and honoring our bodies, our female cycles, the seasons, circadian rhythms. And to me, it was like a big fat permission slip to just do less, have more naps.
Oh my God. After this, when I was editing it afterwards, actually during, I lay down and I was just like, oh my God, this needs to come with a warning that you may want to nap afterwards, and that is okay.
Yeah, it's such a celebration of naps amongst other things.
I can't wait for you to hear it. So here you go. So let me just set the scene.
Okay.
If I may. We are sitting in the most beautiful and sunny boat. Where are we? In Limehouse?
We are in Limehouse.
We were just watching a... was it a cormorant?
It was a cormorant.
It was a cormorant. There you go. Drying its wings out in a sort of majestic way. Mm-hmm. Sitting on the water, very gently moving. And I'm here with Tiu Dahan.
Hello.
And this is her magical kingdom.
It is my floating kingdom.
Oh, I am so glad to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you.
First ever return guest.
Am I?
Yes. And I was looking, we had our podcast talking about predominantly ritual and all the magical things that you teach and you guide people in, but particularly at that time around rituals, 3 years ago.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I definitely said at the time, we will be back for more because this has only scratched the surface. If you haven't heard that episode, do go back and listen to it because it is so good. I remember you talking about ritual and I could feel it in my cells that it was such a deep human need to have ritual. It's a powerful and beautiful episode. So definitely go and listen to that after this one. For me, you are the Wonder Woman.
Thank you.
Because you inspire me and you remind me of the wonder and the magic of life, and that you can find it in the mundane.
That is it.
You can find it in the day-to-day, whether it's through ritual, whether it's through the Pranoia Project, when you took us through the streets of London one night with a whole group of willing participants, and we just brought magic and wonder to, you know, neglected streets and gave a balloon to an ambulance man and
a heart-shaped shiny balloon, let's be clear, spontaneously knocked on the window and said, excuse me, we'd like to give you a heart balloon. And he was delighted.
He was so happy. Yeah. But I think it's, and every time, and of course you live in a boat, in a wonderful, magical boat that, you know, you get slippers given to you when you walk in and you get, and it's full of flowers.
Yeah.
It's like every time I come here, it's like stepping into a womb.
Yes.
And which is tied so much to coming back to yourself and really to the deeper places within yourself.
Exactly. Most of the women who are coming to me, whether it's through one-to-one work or through online courses or through workshops or whatever, they're all kind of curious about stepping up into a different level of their own intuition.
Oh, wow.
There's something afoot.
I think so.
And there's an honor. I know it may be my echo chamber and it may be the work that I'm doing bringing this information to me, but everywhere I look, there seem to be increasingly powerful statements of that which we understand to be feminine, not necessarily female, but feminine as opposed to masculine, which are increasingly being recognized as being important, like collaboration, like partnership, as opposed to singularity and dominance, right? Which is the masculine, again, not male.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Intuition, imagination, friendship, responsibility, empathy, thinking in cyclical terms as opposed to in singular growth. You know, like just the idea of looking at kind of traditional economies and how they have sought to rise and rise and rise and rise and rise. And actually the end result of that is a planet in trouble.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at things that honour the seasons and honour times of growth and fallow periods, honouring our own menstrual cycles, honouring our own circadian rhythms within the day, honouring nap time. Very important.
Yeah. Do you know what's been amazing? So at the moment, the time of recording this, we're doing 28 days of love.
Yes.
You do one daily act of self-love for yourself.
Mm.
And the amount of sleep that's been involved, the early nights, the napping, the lions, it's like that has probably been the most popular go-to act of love has been revolved around sleep. It's when I said to you, I could literally listen to you speak all day, but I thought let's find out what she would like to speak about on this podcast, because obviously the last one was all about ritual. And you said, I'd love to talk about the fact that so much of my work is with women who have had to find new and more intuitive, delicious and creative ways to live and work, often due to burnout, but also to a sense of wanting to honour their cycles, their rest and their creativity as much as their kick-ass out in the worldness. I have a strong sense that part of my work in the world is helping women to explore their own radical self-care, master the art of napping, learn how to make space and time to connect with love, and to turn their creativity towards the art of living itself. Vicky and I read that. It was just like, oh God, yes. All of that.
Yeah.
We all need it.
We do.
I'm fascinated about the emphasis on napping.
Yes.
tell us more.
Okay.
Take it away.
Sure. So, so we are so exhausted. And we live in a world that really doesn't often allow us to prioritize rest and
or value it.
And yet with it comes deep restoration, being able to connect with your dreams, both waking and sleeping, like your daydreaming abilities as well as your deep sleep dreams. Your physical wellness, obviously, but I'm talking above and beyond the physical. I'm talking about allowing rather than forcing. And that is an art which I think we all need to get much better at, because the whole world is struggling to keep going at the pace that we are forcing ourselves to keep up all the time. And actually, there's a beautiful book called Sacred Success by Barbara Stanley. I don't know if you know it. It's really great. It's about a woman who experienced burnout and who then basically creates a way of working and running a business and advises people how to do that, honoring this kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. And within it, she basically allows her, she says a period of burnout leads to a period of having to be fallow and allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are practical considerations and you may not always be able to have the luxury of having a 3-month hiatus from whatever it is you're doing in order to have a meltdown and to rest and bounce back.
But so, you certainly need to pare things right down.
Yes. Yeah. And you can also find micro ways of doing that, is my point. That's where napping comes in. So in any 24-hour period, there are ways, even in any 60-minute period, you can find ways of honouring the need to pause. So we think that we create best when we're hurtling through stuff and forcing our way through the to-do list, and it's just not true. One of the things that I have learned through teaching creativity is actually creativity is often at its most fruitful when we step away from the task.
Yeah.
It's when we stop staring at the screen and we go for a walk.
Yeah.
Or it's when we're in the shower, when we go for, when we're cleaning, when we're doing something that is nothing to do with the task that we're engaged in. That's when the ideas come. There's a story about Tom Waits having this. He'd always get his best song ideas in the car. And apparently he was driving and some perfect song created itself in his imaginings. And he was just like, look. And he literally apparently shouted at his muse, went, could you just come back later? Because I can't. Like, it's a waste for us both. If you come now, you won't be honoured and I will be frustrated. Could you just please rearrange things so you can come back when I can actually do you justice? But there's a real lesson there, which is how do we create the conditions where these ideas can be honoured and where we're making space for them. Yes. And that space is nothing to do with sitting down at a screen. It's nothing to do with getting a to-do list done. It is to do with creating a context and then letting it. There's a beautiful quote which I live by, which is from a book called The Art of Possibility by Benjamin and Rosamund Zander, Zander with an X. And it goes like this. It goes, in a universe of measurement, we set a goal and strive to achieve it. In a universe of possibility, we create a context and let life unfold. So we are surrounded by the kinds of behaviours that support a universe of measurement. And we're surrounded by structures and attitudes that force us into that kind of achieve goal, blah, blah, blah. Even if it's sort of... even if it's something as delicious and tentative as self-love, there's still a kind of, I need to make this into a goal, right?
Oh, yeah. And last time I did 28 Days of Love 3 years ago, I got completely caught on turning it into a competition.
Yes.
That each daily act of love had to be good enough.
Yes.
Had to be Instagrammable.
Isn't that interesting?
And all these things. And this time, because I now know all the ways that I get in the way of myself, I'm far more aware of it, and I'm just like, you know what? If today's act of love is to write down 3 gratitudes, then well done you.
Yes.
That's it.
And have a nap.
Have a nap, and then that's why everyone's into this, the act of self-love is having a sleep early night.
That's it, because that actually that allows us to reset that goal striving energy. And I'm not against that, by the way. Like, no. I find that incredibly useful. I like to have that alongside it.
Yes. And it's so interesting. This weekend I was noticing that I was giving myself the weekend off, because I know now, intellectually, I know that when I give myself that fallow period, then in the week I've got far more to give.
Exactly.
But in the space of, you know, self-love, I said this in our recent episode when we did our live recording at Liberty, and I talk about how if you hit my reset button, I do not go, my default is not self-love. I go to a space of pushing myself, you know, striving hard, very much in that goal achieve. So this weekend I noticed that in giving myself that permission to just focus on self-love and give myself that fallow period, a very strong fear came up saying, but if you do that, then you're going to like, you won't be able to get that energy back.
Yes.
And then you'll do that, you'll fall behind.
Yes.
You'll kind of dip.
Yes.
And then you won't be in full power anymore. And I was like, wow. Okay, someone needs to have a word with herself. Because that is going to be burning you out.
But I completely relate to that. And I think I used to characterize them as Napoleon and slob. And I would veer between the two. I would veer between, I shall dominate the entire world. I know I sound like a Dalek, not like Napoleon, but like that kind of madly driven, caffeinated up to the eyeballs, yes. running on empty, chasing around town, filling up my diary 3 weeks in advance without any wriggle room at all.
Yeah.
And then I'd get to the point where I was burnt out and I'd do slob. And that would be 8 hours, like doing Netflix like it was a job.
Oh my God. I remember those days.
And I occasionally still have them, honestly.
Yeah.
But the more
I did Netflix like it was a job. Oh my God.
I've put in 8 hours.
I'm gonna see 24 episodes of this series over a weekend and oh my God. Thinking that that was rest.
Yes. And sometimes it's also okay, I think, for myself to have junk food. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For myself. Like I know that deep nourishment does not take the form of 8 hour Netflix binges, but occasionally, fuck it. I don't want I don't want to do a fucking guided meditation and go for a walk and go to yoga. I don't want to. I want to watch 8 hours straight of Luther because it's Idris Elba. And why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Like some part of me also needs to let myself not be worthy about that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, point being, Napoleon would veer to slob and then I'd get so tired of slob that I'd veer back to Napoleon. Yeah. And the two things were extremes. As I have become more conscious and more attuned and better able to put practices in place that bring me into alignment with myself, those extremes are not so extreme.
Yeah.
So I don't need to go from burnout to burning through things to back and forth.
Yeah.
I can do it in less extreme increments.
Yeah.
And also notice the natural flow within a given day or a month or a year or a lifetime where those phases ebb and flow naturally. Mm. And allowing yourself to even notice that stuff is the first step, because we override, right? So we override our natural, our emotional and our physical through all these different ways. And part of what happens for me when people come to me is my whole thing is around, how do you create this context and let life unfold? So how do you create the boundaries around a moment or an experience that lets you explore those whispers as opposed to the shouts? Because those parts of you that have an idea, that Tom Waits sitting in the car and the song coming, the rest, the honouring of your bodies, of winter, of seasons, of when you have your period, of those moments where we naturally dip, allowing those to be part of your day, including a nap, and then learning what your own rhythms are and then honouring the times when you rise up out of them. So I, for example, have now found I have a natural physical rhythm. My natural rhythm is I don't want to go to bed before 1:30 in the morning. That's when I want to go to bed. So if I let myself sleep until I wake naturally, which I usually do, it will be about 7 or 8 hours. And then in the morning I have a practice, which is how I keep on track, which is, well, first of all, I light some candles on my altar for my ancestors and various other things. Then I get back into bed with a coffee and I write morning pages, which is 3 sides of A4, stream of consciousness, any old shite, really, like genuinely, bleh, just like, this song is stuck in my head, you know, real rubbish. But through clearing that out, I start to get past the detritus, through to the knowing, through to the questions, through to the interesting stuff. And then I'm set up for the day. And the morning tends to be kind of admin, emails, calls, that kind of thing. Then, or exercise or cleaning. And then I have lunch. And then I have a nap. Sometimes have a little orgasm with my nap. Just have to let you know, for an even better nap. Rabbit in a nap.
Oh my God, that is brilliant.
And then I sleep for 20 minutes to 45 minutes. Then I have a double espresso. Then I am on fire for the rest of the day, from say like 3-ish through to, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 at night. That's when I get all my best stuff done. So that is when, if I'm doing a broadcast, if I'm doing a design of a class, if I'm doing ideally a client, although I can't always work in those rhythms, that's when I really kick ass. And then, unwind until 1:30 in the morning. But so that's my rhythm.
Yeah.
completely different to most people. I know that, you know, I know that most people don't space out their day that way. But for me, I have learned to honour that my most creative time is actually later on. Mm. Admin first, nap and wank. I feel like your listeners
heard
can...
it when you said nap and an orgasm.
I'm sorry, nap
but
and
I mean,
orgasm.
That's just semantics. That's just how it sounded. It's
nap and an orgasm.
The first time around.
But also, allowing that space in the day and making the bedroom a place with no screens, making the bedroom a place with really delicious soft bedding, making it dark, so no natural light in there, and an eye mask, and all of those things that when you go into rest, sometimes I don't actually fully sleep. Sometimes I find myself kind of going on a bit of an imaginative journey somehow, or you know, it turns into a slightly different experience. I feel like I connect to my intuition, or I might get ideas then, but it's in that kind of dreamy space. And when it is my time of the month, because I do still have regular cycles, even though I'm very old, allowing that first day of period to be a whole day of that. If at all possible, scheduling it into the diary so that if I'm asked to do anything which is out in the world-ish, like facilitating or speaking, I am not doing it on those days. Yeah. I let myself have dream time. I make a cave and I get into it. And honouring those ups and downs means that then when I'm back in the other part of the cycle, it's a bit like... when I'm in my day in the afternoon to evening thing, that's when I do my best work. So if I'm ovulating, that's when I want to be giving talks, for example. If I can possibly schedule things around my natural ebbs and flows, that works for me. It may not work for everybody. It doesn't necessarily always fit with the demands of the world.
Well, this is what I was going to say, because, you know, thinking from the place of someone who's listening who has a full-time job... and maybe a
children,
kid,
yeah.
Children. Mm-hmm. How my thought might be, well, it's all right for you because you've got that freedom. But how can someone who has those that you know a schedule put upon them?
Sure.
How, because presumably you work with women who are in that situation.
Exactly, I do.
How would you work with me if I was going every day to an office? I've got the kids to pick up. I have to get them up in the morning.
Yeah.
If my natural rhythm is to have a lovely lie-in and, a nap and an orgasm at 12 and then, be on until, my creative mode is 6 p.m. But unfortunately, I'm feeding the kids then and I'm at work at 12. So the nap and the orgasm, I mean, I could try and fit them in into an office toilet cubicle, but it's
not the same.
It's your beautiful womb-like, bedroom in this boat. So how... imagine I'm that person you're speaking to me now. What advice would you give me? How would you work with me to create maybe those, like you're talking about, those micro moments, those pockets of time and working within the limitations that I've got? And also make sure that I don't then feel a bit like disgruntled that, well, I can't live like that because I've got these limitations within which I have to live.
Sure. So, of course, very few people... there are people who are freelance and run their own business and create their own diaries. But those who have had to put their natural rhythms aside in order to meet the needs of the world.
Yeah.
The first thing is to go, you don't have to do it in a massive grand way. You can do it in micro moments.
Right.
So you start with, for example, a 25-minute window where instead of just being on the go, you put your phone away and you go for a walk for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
As part of your lunch hour. You find a way of bringing in maybe even a 5-minute or maybe even a 1-minute window into the transition from sleeping into waking, where you're doing something that is absolutely teeny tiny, but you're allowing yourself to honor the shift. And it's a little bit like when you do any kind of meditation where you're focusing on the breath. As you breathe in, there's a micro moment before you breathe out again. Yeah. And as you breathe out, there's a micro moment before you breathe in again. You may not be able to change the big things, but you can, even for 1 minute, focusing on those micro moments, that right there is going to change how you feel as you wake up in the morning. If you spend 1 minute doing that as opposed to going on Twitter, I promise you,
Do you know what? As you're saying this, it's making me feel like in those micro moments, you can reclaim yourself.
Yes, you can.
You can reconnect.
That's it.
And that is very exciting. So you don't need to go through a huge life change, get rid of the kids, get rid of the job.
No.
Buy a boat next to Tews and live that way. You can actually get that. You can feel the excitement of reclaiming yourself and reclaiming your ownership.
That's
of
right.
Your time with those micro moments without having to change anything else.
Correct.
Actually in the rest of your life at the moment.
This is why what I'm so interested in is magic in the mundane.
Yes.
I don't run massive retreats. I don't say you're only going to get this if you go away. I give people tools that work within their reality so that they can shift what they're experiencing in the normal world in which they live. So, for example, when you and I and your gang of wonderful people went and did that little workshop, the Pronoia Project, we went down the street in London in the middle of a regular, well, it was an evening, I think, not a day, but it was essentially, you know, people were doing their thing. It was not, we were not on a Greek island wearing caftans.
No, it was a bit cold.
It was a bit cold.
It was a bit wet, I believe. It was not your ideal London evening.
But the invitation was to start with a love letter, which everybody wrote before we went out into the streets hand. And the love letter was going to be left somewhere for a stranger to find. So as soon as you're holding a love letter, which has sealing wax, because why not, and coloured envelopes and coloured pens. As soon as you're holding a love letter in your hand and you walk into the street and you're looking for somewhere to leave it, that street shifts ever so slightly.
Yeah.
The way that you see it stops being, I've got to get from here to the tube as fast as possible, or, oh, for God's sake, it's raining. It goes, where can I hide a love letter? And you've suddenly changed a regular street into an opportunity for a tiny little moment. And then if you add into that, you're carrying a piece of chalk with you and you're going to write a message that somebody is going to see at some point, and you're going to take great delight in finding a place to write that message. And then if you add into that googly eyes that you can stick on stuff and turn stuff into faces, suddenly like a crack in a wall becomes a smile, right? So what I'm saying is you don't need to go on retreat. You can take 5 minutes and turn your street into a place for wonder.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this. It's not about selling the kids and the husband and giving up the day job and doing the extreme version. I have chosen this slightly extreme version, but I've also, you know, with that comes a lack of security, you know, like there are downsides to my choices in terms of, I don't know, I don't have a husband and I don't have children and I don't know where the rent's coming from, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes that's really tough.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I'd love to have a bit more solidity. Actually, no, do you know what? I actually do want more solidity and security in ways that suit who I am and what I do. But given that I have chosen this this life that is devoted to shifting perspective, connecting to the heart, I am in the very blessed position of being able to remind people how to do that in micro ways and how to connect back to that. So my whatever north on the compass is this experience of wonder. And I can gently guide people towards doing that in tiny ways. Other people's point on the compass is providing for their family and staying grounded, and I'm so glad that they do that, and I want some of that, honestly.
Yeah, and I think what's beautiful about what you do, and this is why it's so incredibly symbolic where you hold your sessions with people and where you live, because like you say, it's this beautiful light-filled womb-like boat that is floating amongst like corporate London.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. And the hustle and bustle of London life. And here you are offering that space and showing that it's possible. But I think what's really exciting about what you do is you're saying you don't have to change a single thing in your outer world.
Correct.
I will show you how to experience that world from a place of wonder and connection with yourself.
That's right.
And that is just, it's amazing. It's so similar to what we do at Project Love and yet different. And I just think, oh my God, I just find it, even though I do what I do, I always want more of you and what you offer, and invariably do sign up to your online courses and come to your Pranoia project.
Yes.
And sort of, and I am now very much seriously thinking about doing some work with you as I approach 40, because what better excuse?
What better excuse? That? I think that would be absolutely, it would be an honour and a treat and a pleasure. And it's so, yeah, I love what you guys do too. I love that the cornerstone of this is women connecting to, well, it is primarily, it is women, right?
Is it? Yeah, is we're, that definitely, fed to you? We're definitely opening up the space so that, particularly with Goodbye Hello, the journal,
yes,
that men are very much invited into that space. We know a lot of men who do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, sisterhood has always been...
Yeah. But the self-love piece is such...
Self-love is a feminine power.
It is, isn't it?
I said to my partner, you're going to do 28 Days of Love. And he just looked at me like, yeah. I mean, that could be more to do with where he's at with things. But there are not... There are a few men doing it, but it's predominantly women who go, oh, self-love is something that I need. I also think potentially that what I've noticed is that men find it much easier to go to create space in their lives for things that they want to do and that make them happy.
That's true.
Because they're brought up with a sense of self-sovereignty that women aren't.
That's so true.
That's my experience. That's what I've observed anyway. But we're in large part for women.
And I love the fact that there's this force of, nourishment, of community, of honouring, of inquiring even into what that might even look like.
So much about that.
Because it is comparatively new as a conversation, and really clearly delineating the separation between self-love and narcissism, which is a completely different thing, is such a beautiful inquiry. Yeah. It's so delicious to kind of go, no, actually, what is a deep way of really truly nourishing myself? And that question in itself asks us to make a little bit of time in order to even make space for that question, right?
Yeah, it's the making space for it.
And that's the piece that I feel is, again, at the heart of all the stuff that I do. It's about making this moment into an artwork, even if that moment is, you know, a big grand thing like a wedding or a funeral. Like I say, fewer of those in my work life these days. I'm more interested in those moments where you just go, where is the 1 minute? Where is the 15 minutes? Where is the one day per month or per year or per quarter or whatever? Where is the 2 to 3 hour chunk where something can move and change?
Oh my God, I'm like, right, sign me up. That's it. I want sessions with you on all of this. I want the 40-year transition, but I want the daily rituals.
Yeah.
Because I need it.
Yeah, but we all do.
Exactly.
And the thing is, there are all sorts of suggested practices out there, but there's often, to my mind anyway, there's not quite the same creativity allowed in terms of how do you make it your own. Like, we might go on a yoga blog that we like and we go, oh, okay, what are you supposed to do in the morning for half an hour? I'm going to follow this sequence of exercises. But it might not suit your home.
Yeah.
It might not suit your body, might not suit your rhythm. So my thing, and I'm not saying don't try it, but my thing is, how do you create your own?
Yeah.
And this is what the online course is about. So the online course, which is called The Possibility of Wonder.
Yes.
It's four parts. You can do them each as a standalone. You don't have to do all four parts. But if you do all four parts, they cover. The first one is Rituals for Creativity, which is specifically around...
I've done that one.
Have you?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Good girl. I'm very glad
to hear
that. I
did it the other week because I was embarking on a new creative project. I was like, right, I'm doing it.
And the thing about that one that I particularly love, that I feel is so, I use it myself, is there's a guided meditation where you meet the essence of your creative project. Yes. I use it myself.
Yes.
As, you know, I listen to my own guided meditation because I've never come across anything like it out there. And there's something about creating that space to connect with the idea of a project or a business or a whatever it is, a novel or a, I don't know, anything, being able to connect with it as if it could guide you. And when you
drop into that sense of collaboration, you're doing that thing where Tom Waits in the car going, would you stop singing to me now? Like that thing that was singing the song to him, you could talk to it. He was shouting at it and telling it to go away. But if you were to be able to connect with the essence of this idea and create a partnership with it, the onus is no longer on you to be amazing. The onus is on you to be in service to something bigger than you.
Yeah.
And that I find hugely powerful and really useful. And Liz Gilbert is all about that in her TED Talk and in Big Magic and all that stuff. So there's that one. The second one is rituals for self-care, which is what we've been talking about, actually. Yes. It's not about the full-time Netflix, nor is it about just drinking loads of wine and numbing out, nor is it about following somebody else's idea of what it should be like. You must have a candlelit bubble bath or whatever. It's about creating your own and attuning to your own cycle. So within that one, there's a whole thing around a grief ritual for when you need to release. There's a whole thing around food, how we connect with our food and how we can make meal times a moment of deep connection without having to say a prayer or anything, but like honouring the resources that are on your plate in a way that gives you a moment of meaning as you're about to eat. There's making a den. Literally, you have to make a den. So you have to actually pull your chairs out, pull all your duvets out, pull your blankets out, and actually make a den and get into it. It's the law.
It's now the law.
And there's various, and there's also a whole thing around honouring your cycle and figuring out when your peaks and troughs are and just logging it so that you can begin to kind of take care of it. There's also a brilliant thing in there, which my mate came up with this. She realised that for her physical and mental health, she was not always aware of the relationship between the amount of sleep she had, the amount of food she had eaten, the amount of exercise she'd had, the amount of orgasm she'd had, and how she felt on a given day. So she started to create a way of keeping track of this stuff. And I said, we should call it MAML. Because it's just like, it's brilliant. It's like bowel movements, orgasms, like it's like really basic physical stuff. So she basically started logging it and I did too. So one of the exercises, create a way of logging your mammalian stuff and just seeing how you do. And just being...
Guys.
Right?
There's an app in that.
I know. I totes know this.
I better edit it out so that you keep it to yourself.
I knew that and she was, and it's totally fine. Basically bullet journaling, but it's with a particular focus on the physical side and then how it, and what she realized was up until she did this, she thought that her mental health was dependent by how much sleep she had had. She was entirely wrong. She realized the more that she did this process, other factors actually had a much greater effect. And so it was just this way of honoring all of these things that we don't usually make time for. So that's the rituals for self-care one. Then there's rituals for work, which weirdly is actually my favourite of the whole set. Rituals for work is around how do you let go of a project or an identity or a job that you're no longer doing? Viking funeral is the answer, by the way.
Of course it is.
I
don't know why I didn't guess that immediately. I did not expect you to go there. Okay.
Make a boat, set fire to it. Anyway. I'm not even joking. How do you have meetings with colleagues where you actually have a meaningful connection with them? Mm-hmm. How do you...
I really want to do this one.
It's really good. How do you step into a skill set that you need, which you may not have?
No!
Yeah.
This is so good.
I know. How do you find ways of working, again, at your circadian rhythm points where you can, figuring out what points of the day where you're really good at a particular kind of task and other days when you're really not.
Yeah.
Various things like that, right? Really, and how do you start and finish something? I love that one. I use it a lot, actually, and I teach it in different formats. And then the final one is rituals for your world. So rituals for your world includes writing a love letter to a stranger. It includes the kind of stuff that we were doing. Oh my God, there's a little bit of the Pronoia project in there. But there's also create a magical experience for one other person. There's also honouring a community thing, just do the thing. It's full of really gorgeous
just
stuff.
Do the thing.
But it covers all this because the first three are really about you.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is how do you then make it out
that
in the world?
Yeah. That's amazing.
And it's really powerful. And with it, I don't know how much longer I can keep this up, but I do have a deal where I give people a free audiobook from the reading list as well. Because I found a way of doing that.
I know. I
shared that with you and then I started doing it too. Exactly.
Yeah. So that
won't... As long as you've never had an audiobook shared with you before.
As a gift, that's correct. If you've never received an audiobook as a gift, then yeah.
Then you will receive one.
You will receive one if you want one.
Yeah.
From the reading list. And the reading list is full of absolute gold, I have to say. Including the Sacred Success book I mentioned before.
Oh, yeah.
And including Big Magic by Liz Gilbert, which is just
okay,
glorious.
Okay, so when I get mine, I'm going to get the Sacred Success.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good. It's really powerful for what everything that you're about and everything that I'm about. So yeah, so it's this beautiful, it's four parts. Like I said, each one's a standalone, a 90-minute standalone class, but altogether there's 6 hours and free book. And there's a Facebook group where everybody who's done it gets to jump in with each other if they want to.
Yeah.
And you get, and what's and with it comes the ritual design checklist, which is the thing that I work with all of my clients with. And if you and I get together and work on your 40th, we will work through that same checklist because it's a way of going, how can I honour something in my life? What do I need to consider when I'm creating a moment of meaning? Mm. And it takes you through the entire process that I use with my clients. And within it, you can do it with anything. Mm. And some of the participants who have done the course have gone on to create their own rituals and share them with me. Such beautiful stories, such amazing stories. I cannot even tell you. And they've taken the idea of making these moments where they connect with the heart and connect with a shift, and they've done their own thing, and then they've photographed it and sent it back to me or to the group and gone. And that, above all else, makes me so happy. Yeah. Because it's this is why I don't want to be called a celebrant. I want everybody to be celebrating their own transitions.
To become ritual makers.
That's right. Mm. And to create these moments of meaning in every aspect of their life and work and in their relationships with their kids, with their bosses, with their... everything. That's the outcome, is for everybody to be going around living lives that are filled with moments of meaning and wonder and helping them to do that.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you do.
Oh.
It's just so good. I am so grateful to know you. I'm so grateful for what you do.
Thank you.
And I'm so grateful to be able to share you with other
people.
Thank you. So where should people go to find out about working with you?
Yeah.
To sign up to the online course?
Oh, and I have a discount for everybody Woo-hoo! Listening to this for the online course as well. So my website.
Yes.
Is basically my name.com. Mm-hmm. So that's spelt T as in T for tango, IUD as in D for delta, EH, not the number, the letter, AAN.com. I'm going to say that again.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Thank you. I tell you, with a name like mine, can you imagine how much time I spent? Yeah, so tudahan.com. On that site, there's tons of stuff. The online course I've just been talking about is simply called The Online Course, and it's called The Possibility of Wonder. It's in the main menu. If you want to get it for my lovely Project Love people, I am giving it to you 20 quid off.
Woohoo!
So it's normally 30 quid a class, which would be 120 quid total. If you get the whole thing, you'll get it for 100 quid. If you put love, capital letters, into the discount code when you get to the checkout.
So, amazing.
Yeah. And on the website, there's loads of other stuff. There's lots of me. I speak on Psychology's Facebook Live every month. There's a TED Talk. There's a quarterly ritual class, which I'm doing, which is not unlike your beautiful... Goodbye, hello, but on a quarterly basis.
Yeah.
So each season, taking a 90-minute process to let go of everything that you need to complete from the previous 3 months and vision the next three. And have a ritual around that season. So the first one's in March, stepping into spring. And they're just lovely. There's all sorts of stuff on there.
Exactly.
There's tons. And there's also a free gratitude walk little thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is so lovely. So what happens is at the bottom of every page on the website, there's a little sign-up form which says, if you want to get my updates, and honestly, they're very infrequent, but... because I'm napping too much. But like, I don't
napping know. Napping and
wanging. Napping.
You said it.
I did. Shit, I wish I had, but I have. So if you sign up for that, you'll get a little 6-minute film with a
printable PDF thing, which is about how to go for a gratitude walk, which is one of those micro practices that you can do for 5 minutes and it totally changes your day.
Right up my street.
It's really...
It's also a great daily act of self-love. Exactly. That is doable.
Totally. And so if you sign up, you'll get a little 6-minute film and a little printable PDF thing that will just give you an idea of how to do it and what to be grateful for, and to begin to even inquire, like, who you're being grateful to, because that's an interesting question in itself. Anyway, watch it. It's very sweet.
That suddenly spun me into an existential.
Well, we can discuss that another time.
Channel.
Yes. But basically, yeah, and through all of that, if you do want to do one-to-one work with me and come and see the boat, that's, you can just book a free 20-minute session via Skype using the website. And then if you want to, you can come and we can unpack stuff.
Wow.
And you can have a nap. People sometimes do. They do occasionally turn here and they have a cry and they let it all out. And then they go, a bit exhausted. I go, why don't you have a little sleep? And they have a little sleep and then we carry on.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Selena. That's so good.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.